TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you as always by our gracious sponsors at Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. Complete Ag Resolutions offer you the best solutions in all your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/completeagresolutions. And Pizza Now, they're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And I personally would suggest that you get the porcupine pizza. It's a barbecue base with a pulled pork and pineapple and red onions if you like that stuff. Check them out. They have a Facebook at Pizza Now Albany. You can call them up at 928-0900. You can check out their Twitter at Pizza Now One. So check out Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. And now listen to your episode. Hey, Gatch.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on TagCastPodcast.com.
You just blew my mind.
Did you say blow?
Mind. I'm losing my mind.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Is it blow?
Yeah.
My name's Terry Gatch.
You know what you are? You give me leg monster!
You're a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Hello, everybody. I can't speak.
My leg was right out in the middle of the street.
Did you know that I've seen your penis 6 times today? And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
Would you go to the president's office? Shit on his desk while he's watching right there on his desk.
We don't need idiots.
Ernest?
Good for nothings. Meth heads. Or
Bob.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
Hello and welcome to the podcast.
I'm waiting for Dustin and he's waiting for me.
Number 328.
That's right, I'm even Gerard.
Damn it.
I know.
Why'd they have to fuck that up?
I'm Gatchelopagoligus.
And I'm Terry, who doesn't know what the fuck's going on. or do I know our sponsor's name?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy? Oh, shit. I was supposed to announce that. Anyway, welcome to Wednesday. It's hump day. And we're high on fire.
We are high on fire. We're here with guest Zach Rowe. What's going on, Zach?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Doing good.
It's fucking full now. That was a good Pizza Now.
Oh, man. Oh, that man. Was good.
We just introduced Zach to Pizza Now.
Yes.
He's eaten pizza before, but now he's eating Pizza Now.
That pork pie is good.
Pork pie.
Mmm.
Porcupine pie.
Oh, man, just the barbecued...
It's a tangy barbecue sauce.
It is.
And then the tang of the pineapples.
Even just the crust and the barbecue sauce is good.
It's very balanced.
It is. It is. It's a great pie.
Now I'm full. So welcome to our Wednesday show. I'm blasting some High on Fire in the background from Devermis Mysteris. It's called Bloody Knuckles. I wanted to play that because they're coming to Portland in March.
Wow.
And I just got some good news from my good friend Dave Forsythe down in, Death Metal Dave down in Reno.
Oh, yeah.
He said, hey, I'm coming to Oregon in March. Do you want to go see Anthrax, Exodus, and Municipal Waste, and High on Fire?
That's a great show.
Yeah, it's on a Friday night. It's at the Crystal Ballroom.
It's going to be a great show.
So he calls me the next day. I just got VIP passes for you. We're doing the meet and greet. He said, I'll have a rental car. I'll be at your house if you drive. I got the car. I got the passes. You just bring the party.
So, it's a good thing you're not vegetarian, otherwise you wouldn't be able to meet and greet.
I know. It'd be more like veg and greet.
Yep.
Which is what I'll probably do.
Vegan greet.
I'll just veg out. And and I haven't seen Anthrax in over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Or Exodus. Well, it hasn't been... Yeah, shit. I don't even know. I think it's been 20 years for both.
I saw... 20 years. I saw Anthrax on the Sound of White Noise tour.
That was cool. John Bush,
yeah.
I saw him for Persistence of Time.
Well, they got Joey Belladonna back now, and they're sounding pretty good from what I heard. Like I said, Danny Spitt's not in the band anymore, and their other guitarist just quit.
Yep.
I don't know who they're getting.
Who's that? Scott Ian?
Oh, no, the guy that... Yeah, Rob.
That's him.
Yeah, he's been in the band for probably since 97, since Danny Spitz quit, I guess, and became a watchmaker.
I saw the headline, but I did not read the story about Matt Pike, who gave, I guess, an explanation of why he hated Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Was it because it was about a certain person?
No, I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline.
Oh, damn it.
So if you want to know the story...
What website do I go to read that? Or does have, does this have
I just
to
saw
Google?
It on my newsfeed passing and on Facebook.
I'll just have to Google.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Matt Pike like...
Pike looks like a lady.
Yeah, that's all you'd have to put in, right? Who knows what you're going to find after you put that in, too. Oh. That could be dangerous. I heard he's doing well, though, after he had his rehab stint and he's back on tour now. I heard
that sounds like a badass show, man.
Yeah. I'm really stoked about it. I haven't been to the Crystal Ballroom since 2003 when I saw Queens of the Stone Age with Dillinger Escape Plan.
Ooh,
which was
a good show.
It was so weird. Yeah. Why?
That is a fucking wacky combo, isn't it?
It was. Yeah. Me and Kevin walked in and like they were already playing and the dudes were jumping around crazily at like, and this was before they've gotten a little more commercially, I don't know. Their songs are less offbeat and fucking weird. But when we saw them, it was just crazy.
2003, that was probably what, about the Red Album?
Songs for the Deaf?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was right after, yeah, they just got Joey Castillo on drums, and they still had Nick at the time. But so we're tripping out on the band, so we go to the merch table, and they got some CDs for sale. And they're like, oh, don't forget about this one. Because Kevin's all, who's this band? And they're like, Dillinger Escape Plan. And he's like, what? Dillinger Escape Plan. Here's a CD made with Mike Patton. And he's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
This is my new favorite band.
You introduced me to Dillinger's Escape Plan when I was running that extreme metal radio station.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah. I knew nothing really about extreme metal.
You don't?
Well, I didn't then. I'm not really now.
What do you know? Tell us the one thing you know about extreme death metal.
There's that band Fetal Corpse.
Is there?
Yeah. No, Fecal Corpse. I'm sorry. Fecal Corpse. I don't know which one's worse.
Is this a local band?
No, they're from New York. I used to, when I ran it, I would get submissions from all over. People would send me actual physical CDs. It was back in that day.
Oh.
You know, and so, they sent me one.
Fecal Corpse?
Yeah, I showed you the cover that one time, remember? It's like the name of the album is, We Gang Banged Your Mom Again.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time remembering the Fecal Corpse, but whatever. Do you still have it?
Yes.
You're going to get it right now?
I could.
No, I'm just kidding. You just look like you were shifting.
I might even have it at arm's reach.
Oh, no. So anybody interested in some good extreme metal, just check out Fecal Corpse.
Fecal Corpse.
On, oh, it's a CD even. Wow.
That is a great album cover.
It is, man.
Oh, that is great.
Is it I Gangbanged Your Grandma Again, or is it Mom?
Your Mom.
Your Mom.
Wow.
Yeah, and the back's got some good art, too.
Whoa.
They're very graphic, if you're into graphical.
Very graphic.
She should,
art.
We gangbanged your mom again. She should be grateful. On Red Rum Records from Yonkers, New York. Let's go. Let's see what some of these song titles are.
Uh-huh.
Vomiting Feces.
Mm-hmm.
Cannibalistic Tendencies. Facial Reconstructive Chainsaw. Oh, here's the best one. Anal Assault on a Virgil Rectum.
Wow.
Virgin rectum, excuse me. I can't speak properly. Oh, this one's tough. Festering flesh infection from the slices I got from your peanut-riddled fecal matter. Song titles from Fecal Corpse. That was the longest song title ever. That's pretty good, though. Yeah. Did you listen to it, or did you just make fun of it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. No. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, a lot of extreme metal sometimes, you know, kind of goes down the same vein. I think it does. It's probably, probably like that porno core.
Wow. The CD actually has the money shot on it.
Yeah, it does.
That's crazy.
Hey.
Wow. Yeah, I thought it was a great package, you know, and hey, there were cool dudes over in the death metal scene in New York.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they got a MySpace.
I don't think they're still around. But yeah,
they have a MySpace.
It's old. Everybody's got a MySpace. Have you tried the new MySpace?
I have not tried the new MySpace.
Everybody has a MySpace. Did you just say that again? Everybody has a MySpace. But does everybody use it?
No.
Okay.
No one uses it.
I can't even remember my login.
That's my problem. I think I probably got like four or five of them.
Yeah. I got several accounts. Because you had to create a new account for every
band.
Page.
Yeah. And each like alternate realm that you were in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Second life or third life.
The weird psycho stalker over here.
I was just watching that Office episode the other day where Dwight and Jim had the Second Life. You see
that? Oh, it was
an
older one, right?
Yeah, an older one. Yeah, Dwayne. Or,
Dwayne?
Dwight.
Yeah, you said Dwayne.
Yep. Dwight had he had a Second Life.
But he was exactly like himself in it.
He was exactly like himself, and he worked at
a paper place.
Yeah, he worked at a paper place.
And
then,
ran a beet farm.
Yeah, his Second Life was going so well, his Second Life character had a Second Life character or something like that.
Yeah.
Who was exactly the same or something like that.
Did you watch it last Thursday where he found that document in the cabinet?
Oh, it's a document.
It was a prank from Jim from years ago and it was supposed to be.
I watched it in spots. That's
the Dunders, the Mifflin Scroll, or whatever.
Yeah,
it was a
treasure
hunt,
right?
Yeah, but it ended up the black dude from the warehouse is just dunking his donut in.
Yep, Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm kind of bummed that show's going to come to an end, but at least it'll give me one less TV show I have to watch every week.
I'll probably start watching it once it gets over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, and then you can watch it like a giant movie.
That's what we've been
doing.
It'd
be a long book.
Doing the Nutfucks.
Yep.
Yeah. The Prison Break, I had a lot of fun watching that one.
You watched 108 episodes? Or
it was like 80 or 90 episodes. It was like a week and a half. It was.
I got in four episodes, and I like had to watch something else, and then I never went back to it because I've got so many things on my queue to watch.
Well, I'm not, you know, I mean,
so
I do other
time.
Things, and sometimes that's just in the background, you know, and I'll just flip over to it if I hear something that's interesting.
Yeah, the wife just took over mine.
Yeah,
it's been Big Bang Theory for a couple weeks now.
Nice. But, I've never, you know, I respect the show for its. Writing of the science,
sitcom.
Of your science nerdism, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Uh-huh. And so I respect that and the written jokes probably for that crowd, but it's just those kind of sitcoms are really hard for me to watch.
You feel really stupid once it's over.
Yeah.
You're like, I didn't understand a thing that just happened.
Yeah.
Did she ever try to get you to watch Downton Abbey?
No, not yet.
I've heard about that, but I don't know what it is.
It's a BBC show, right?
It's English. I heard it's rich people making fun of lesser fortunate people, basically. I mean, that's just a quick synopsis. I doubt if that's even right, but.
Well, it makes sense.
I just
hear
a lot of people
high on their horse, and they go, bah, bah, bah.
Look, I've got my tea with my pinky sticking out.
Is that the opposite of the Oblongs cartoon?
You little minions. The Oblongs.
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of have a flashback on that. What are those?
They lived in the toxic waste dump.
Ah.
And there was, like, the cat that smoked. And Will Ferrell was the dad, and he had no arms or legs, and he worked at the medicine bottling plant, and he always had to screw on the lids with his mouth.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah.
It went one season, then it was, like, too much for Fox. They had to can it. But Will Ferrell was the dad, and then the mom had, she had no hair, and she smoked heavily. And they were always battling, like, the people that lived up on top of the hill, the Valley Girls. And there were, like, five or six that were all identical. And
oh, shit.
It was good stuff.
Yep, I've heard of it, but I didn't know that it was Will Ferrell, and it doesn't make, I don't know. Will Ferrell's funny and everything, but yeah. Lately...
I kind of snuck under on his resume, I think.
Yeah, what do you think of him lately? Are you excited about the new Anchorman movie that's supposed to be coming out?
I've never even heard of it.
What?
Really? I haven't. You want me to like tell you a secret? I've never seen the original Anchorman movie.
Well, that's okay. It's not like I thought it was funny when I first saw it in the theaters, but it's not. I mean,
to me, it was funnier to quote the lines from it than the movie actually was.
Yeah,
nice.
It's got some good catchphrases in it, but. All right, so shit. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
I forgot what movie we were talking about?
They were talking about Anchorman.
Oh, okay. All right. So it seemed like a funny premise, you know, and I thought. The what was that basketball movie was all right.
Semi-pro.
Tropic. Well, I was thinking that's their name was Tropics, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tropic Thunder.
Well, I was going to, but then I stopped myself after the Tropics. Yeah.
Yeah. When you said you forgot what we were talking about, I thought you were like one toke over the line.
No. Couldn't remember what. I'm one toke under the line.
So that song, I found out by Brewer and Shipley, like somehow they got that past the censors by making them think that it was some kind of a spiritual song. And then I was reading this online, and then it had a link to the Lawrence Welk show, and it had like these two Lawrence Welky people on there singing a spiritual hymn, One Toke Over the Line, because it says Sweet Jesus in it, and it says...
And it is very gospel-y.
Yeah, but it's like, talking about smoking weed.
Well, of course, but it is in the arrangements, though.
It was totally funny, though, to see...
It lends well to that kind of arrangement.
Those Lawrence Welk singers singing funny, though. Over the line. It was pretty funny.
That is funny.
So, yeah, we got a guest in the studio. You got any questions? I actually have some questions, but you usually have some interesting questions for our guests.
Oh, I had some. I was going to talk about some of the polls, like...
Stripper poles?
I like stripper poles.
Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, or Deep Purple. You know, as far as, like, I took a poll online, and I was surprised that Zeppelin, like, just ran away with it.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Over Sabbath. And a lot of the people were saying Sabbath's overrated. Zeppelin was artful, mastery, and blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to get shot down for this, but...
He's going Deep Purple.
Yeah, I'm going to go Deep Purple.
That's fine.
That
a lot of people did go Deep Sabbath, Purple. You know, I mean, they had...
Sabbath is one of those that they have key albums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Deep Purple is one of those that influenced a lot of people back then and stood on their own. Mm-hmm. I mean, they totally stood on their own. Zeppelin, to me, is the overrated.
Yeah.
Zeppelin is totally overrated, in my opinion.
Yeah,
amazing musicians, but...
Yeah. I'm not as familiar with Deep Purple as the other two.
A lot of guitarists.
I think I just go Sabbath, but I get the argument that Sabbath has a spotty history. If you look at like the discography,
that's where
you know you have like what's the Born Again and the Seventh Star, which
Never Say Die.
Which don't even like no one even thinks of them.
Sabbath has such a big history and such a big library that it's kind of hard to choose in there.
I would agree.
And while a lot of people really were influenced by, like, Jimmy Page and Tony Iommi, I think more, like, metal guitarists and stuff cite Ritchie Blackmore as a huge influence. I mean, like, I was surprised to find out that Yngwie Malmsteen cited Ritchie Blackmore as, like, his biggest influence.
Wow.
I mentioned that on Monday's episode, but his style doesn't really
and that could,
portray it. But
could also be, like, where I grew up as far as music goes. Was more oriented around the Deep Purples, that whole scene instead of the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Zeppelin was spoon-fed to me constantly.
Yeah.
And I think that's my thing with Zeppelin, where it's like,
I've heard every song so many times. It's not just the radio hits.
Bono was amazing and a huge influence. But it's like,
you know, but if you're in a mood, you know, I mean, there's definitely a time and a place for Zeppelin.
Yeah.
It's usually not when they play it on the radio.
Exactly.
Yeah, you get some of the good songs off Presence in those albums that they're not playing on the radio, and you're like, man, Zeppelin, not terrible after all. But when you're hearing, like, I don't know.
All of my love. How many albums did Deep Purple do?
Tons. Like, they're putting out a new album this year.
Well, I had no idea that. Yeah. I thought they were like...
They had many different incarnations, though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You knew that Coverdale was their singer for quite some time, didn't you, before Whitesnake? David Coverdale.
I probably had forgotten that, but yeah, I knew David Coverdale was doing other stuff before.
Ian Gillan, yeah. And there were some others. It was a couple weeks ago, so it's not coming back to my brain right now. I'm closing my eyes and trying to think of it. But they've had, a ton of albums. I actually went and saw them in 84 when they kind of had a comeback with that Nobody's or Perfect Strangers.
Uh-huh.
I think it was called. They had a pretty good comeback in the 80s, and they got radio play and sold a pretty good chunk of records and did a good tour. I think it was Bobby Jordan's mom that took me and Randy Massey to see Deep Purple. And I remember we were more excited about the opening act, but right now I can't remember who that was. But anyway, Deep Purple, they've had a huge long career. I mean, not always successful.
Was it Mountain?
And even with that, what? Mountain. Huge.
Isn't that bad?
Yeah, Mountain's a band, but that
doesn't. Isn't that who opened that you were more excited about?
No. I've never seen Mountain.
All right.
But I like one of their songs.
What song?
Mississippi Queen.
I was going to say the only one that you know.
I know.
And everybody says Leslie West was such an awesome guitarist and everything, and he probably was, but that's the only song I know. Yeah. It's a one-hit wonder. No, they had tons of records, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to check out some more Deep Purple-ish. Yeah. I have in the past, but... Just
all their earlier stuff.
Yeah. What about Blue Cheer? You always hear those from the deep cuts of that era, right?
Yeah.
But I listen to one of their albums and
it's not that good.
It's maybe it's just dated.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it just doesn't hold up to the tests of time.
I think the biggest hit they had was probably Summertime Blues, but they had other songs.
A cover, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And who had already had a hit with it? It was a cover of a cover of a cover of a cover from Eddie Cochran to whoever else to The Who to probably a bunch of other people and Blue Cheer.
Remember that must have been the time when you could actually just cover somebody's song and.
Didn't matter.
Yep, didn't matter.
Yeah, the radio was seeking. Yep.
Dude, people were having hits with covers that had just came out like 6 months before that.
Mm-hmm. What was that song? The one song. One is the loneliest number.
Yeah.
That song. It was originally written by one guy, and like within the year, who was it? Three Dog Night.
Mm-hmm.
They covered it and went to a number one.
Yep.
Hit.
It's weird.
It was a great song.
It'd just be weird if you release a song, and it comes out, and it's kind of not very popular. And then some other band comes along 3 months later and records it and has a number one hit.
Yeah. And what do you do at that point? Because you're probably seeing, the 8 cents per copy royalty?
I was gonna say, eight to nine,
whatever it is now of the mechanical royalty fee.
And when I first started playing in bands, my dad used to always tell you guys got to find a good cover to do. You know, have your own songs, but pick a number one hit. He goes, because the saying goes, if it hit number one once, it can hit number one again. I was like, really? Is that why Britney Spears does I Can't Get No Satisfaction? Or like some of these bands that just take these songs and just butcher them because they think, well, it's this song. It's going to do good because it's already known as this awesome song.
The theory works, but it just doesn't actually work out that way.
I guess if you're already in the spotlight and you're already a band that's like a major label band, and then you put out a song like Taking Care of Business, God forbid why anybody would do that, but with Godsmack doing Rocky Mountain Way and songs that, it's just like...
Some songs are just too signature, though.
Yeah.
Like Rocky Mountain Way. I mean, that was...
And
that
they change it
Joe Walsh.
They change it a little bit.
Yeah.
Enough.
And Bad Company is Bad Company.
It's you also got to pick songs that transpose into your band and work with your band.
Yeah.
And that's just not one, in my opinion.
So you have to, otherwise you don't have the emotion and
there's
soul
some songs
it.
That are so signature, you just cannot cover them.
And the first time I heard that cover, I was listening and I just left it on the radio because I was trying, who the fuck is this? Is this Nickelback? Is this fucking theory? Who is this? And then they said Godsmack, and I was like, that totally did not sound like Godsmack. It didn't sound like Sully singing, really. I mean, I liked their version of that Zeppelin song they covered a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
I thought was a great rendition, was Stone Temple Pilots' Dancing Days.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect one.
Pantera's Planet Caravan.
Yeah,
and see,
that was good.
There, once again, is songs that fit those bands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that they bring to themselves and they add to it, and, you know, they make it their own rather than just
you know, playing along. What about the Annie, Are You Okay song? What was that, Alien Ant Farm or something?
Michael Jackson, yeah.
It's one of those where it kind of fit them.
I liked it, you know. Yeah. I thought it was good.
I mean, and that's the whole thing, is if you can really play it with your heart, then it comes across. But
you couldn't see 30-pound test doing Thriller, though, right? Maybe. Oh, shit. What if I just opened up a whole can of worms now?
I might.
Hopefully Jason's not listening.
Oh, he's listening.
I would probably, you know, dress the garb.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. I used to have the black jacket, like with all the zippers and everything.
Like his red ones?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you wouldn't have to put so much makeup on me for me to get to the Michael Jackson 84 era.
You're darker than he is, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, now he's even paler than he was.
I would imagine. He's probably getting kind of see-through. But he's probably actually in a fucking vat of formaldehyde preserved to be cryonically fucking revived later.
You know, when they freeze you, they just freeze your head, though, right?
To keep your brain intact?
Yeah, they don't freeze your whole body, I don't think.
Wouldn't the muscles go bad and get rotten?
What about your spinal fluids?
Anybody knows anything about cryonics?
Maybe they keep your spine intact. I don't know. What do you think? It would take a lot more to house a whole body in a storage.
That's funny you should bring that up, because that was my main amount of questions for Zach, was about how to preserve bodies in a cryonic state. I know he makes beer at home and stuff, and that might have something to do with having to keep bodies preserved.
Jabba the Hutt liked to do it too, didn't he? Freeze people and what did he freeze Hans in?
Or
Han.
Hey Han, how you doing, buddy?
Like all right,
something. We're talking about Star Wars now, are we? How did that happen?
I don't know. We're losing Star Wars points here.
George Lucas. The only thing I like Star Wars is the new Angry Birds Star Wars game. It's pretty fun.
I hear good things about it.
It's addicting but stupid. But anyway, so is that about all you just want to talk about polls? I wanted to start a poll about what you like better, strippers or firemen? Polls.
Barbers.
Barber polls. That's the third one. What kind of poll do you got? North pole.
North pole.
Magnetic pole.
Flag pole.
Tractor pole. Wait.
Wait. Okay, that's it then. I'm going to get to some actual serious questions.
Yeah, we can trade off back and forth with some questions.
For those who don't know, Zach is in the band 30 Pound Test, and they recently went in the studio up in Portland, I think a couple weeks ago. How did that go?
That was a blast.
Yeah?
It really was. It was
2 days?
Yeah, 2 days. It was a completely different experience for me. I mean, running my own studio for about 15 years now, not recording anywhere else.
Right.
And so it
you got to go out as the drummer.
Yeah, just the drummer. And it was really hard leading up to it, just the whole in my head. I actually brought a case with my headphones, extra mics, cables, headphone amps, preamps.
For security.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know, to make yourself feel comfortable.
I wanted to make sure I just had this feeling there was going to be that time where it was like, oh, shit.
Do you have a mic cord?
It's a peace of mind, you know, and you want to have a clear mind when you're going into something like that. And so it's worth the
I opened it up to pull my one just Old Faithful headphones out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was it.
Cool.
So, I mean, they had everything. It was this really nice house up in, actually, Hillsborough. Once we got up there and started following the directions, realized exactly where it was.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're in Hillsborough.
Hillsborough?
Yep. Right down from Intel. And basically, really nice house.
Yeah.
20-foot ceiling right in the living room.
Wow.
No, like, furniture, just like it's these guys' studio house.
Wow, that's cool. Pretty cool.
The back room has a little couch and stuff, so I got to set up in this huge room with like $3,000-$4,000 ribbon mics all around.
Yeah,
these guys had their shit together.
Cool,
it was nice.
Cool,
awesome.
And so you said that Lyndon had recorded there. That's how you knew him. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Lyndon and Blake are.
And any kind of a shout out? What's the studio name?
What was it? Scrotex, I think.
Oh yeah, I made a joke about that.
Yeah.
It's like latex scrotum.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Scrotex.
Okay. It's the guys from Ambush Party. They've been playing around Corvallis for a while.
I see a lighter.
Yeah, they were kicking us down a whole bunch of stuff.
Sweet. Garb. Sweet. Yeah, and so how many songs did you guys record?
We recorded six Five, hopefully, we'll make it.
Yeah.
We actually went in thinking we were going to record four with two extras if we had time.
Yeah.
Well, shit started going really well. I shouted out one of the other two alternate ones to record first because I wanted to warm up on it. So we went through them all. We had a couple little, since it's Pro Tools, there's a couple little things where you like re-record just the intro.
Yep.
So we had a couple little like editing issues on one song. So that's getting taken care of. So we're not for sure if that one's going to make it. So
right.
If that one doesn't make it, then it's going to be five songs, and then 6 months or so we'll release that
and
one.
And it's your guys' songs. No covers?
No covers.
Okay, cool.
No covers. Right.
So you said, okay, that was one of the questions. When do you release it? Probably within the next, what'd you say?
Probably 4 to 6 months. Probably.
4 to 6 months, yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys going to do like a full kind of semi-pro package?
Yeah, right? We're going to try to.
Nice. And do you guys have a title for the record, or are you still throwing that around?
We're still throwing that around. Actually, we're still throwing around everything for the album. So if there's any like people that know digital imaging and stuff that want to help put together an album cover.
Oh, yeah. Arts.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to start looking for different people to just start sending us whatever.
Yeah. Right on.
I want to throw something your way. Yeah. Just glue some images together.
Yeah. We're
have to see brainstorm on it and see what enters the old noggin.
Yeah, we're not really that into doing that stuff ourselves.
Yeah,
so
yeah, sure.
You know you can do it, but it's just like, man,
it's time consuming.
If I could just give my vision to someone, and usually a lot of times if you find the right person and you tell them, and then you get it and you're like, fuck, that's what I wanted, but way better.
Yeah.
You added this to it that makes it better, and then you're like, oh, cool, and then I didn't even have to deal with it. You know, because it's a bitch, and then you have to, and especially if you're a member of the band, then you got to deal with the other members of the band going, well, you made it, but I don't like this.
It's another instrument.
Yeah. An outside party is a cool thing because then this person says, what do you think of this? And the band goes, what do you think?
Yeah,
yeah,
cool.
Exactly.
That's cool.
It makes it easier.
Yeah.
And then if you can get multiple ones from multiple people, it makes it easier too, because then you can just, you have pretty much the best of all the worlds.
Right. Yeah, throw them together, you know, something.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to hear.
If you guys have pictures, you know, I mean, I might be able to throw together maybe just some sort of book if you guys maybe, you know, want to do a limited release of like with a book of a bunch of pictures or something, you know, because it's actually really economical to do so.
Yeah.
Economical.
Yeah.
Well, and anything you can do to make people actually buy the physical CD.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Kickstarter might be a great way. I mean, I've had some success on there. I've had some failures.
Which is also why we're not going to release it for a while, because we got to come up with funds.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, exactly.
And you never know. If you have a good enough fan base of people who are anticipating it, you could do pre-orders and use that money to pay for it. And when it's your friends and fans and people who are actually waiting for it, they don't mind. Oh, yeah, I'll pre-order that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. That'll be cool.
Very cool.
I am, too. I still have yet to hear it.
Yeah. even the raw mix?
Yeah, we left the studio with no copies. We listened to it as we were packing up, and it sounded, at that point, sounded just as good as our two-song demo that we put out. So we all left totally stoked, but they're mixing it for us, which is also another weird thing for me. We have total say. It's going to be going back and forth.
I've had to do that. Sometimes that gets to be a long, drawn-out process if you know really what you want. And
Well, you have to spend, you know, your time, you know, at least a week, like, listening to it and really being critical of yourself and your own songs and each other. And that's an emotionally draining thing. And then on top of that, you know, then you finally, all right, this is what I want. And then you send it back and you kind of got to detox from listening and being that critical, because you got to become open again to the next mix and, you know, and not take those criticalnesses, I guess, with the,
exactly.
Criticalnesses. That's another new word brought to you today by the Tagcast podcast.
Dictionary coming in 2017.
Dictionary. You hear about that one? It was made by Leahy from Trailer Park Boys. It's called the Dictionary. And it has all of his shitisms, like shit hawks and shit ropes and shit larvas, shit-a-canes, shit-abyss.
And, man, I gotta watch those again.
It was a limited edition run too. I don't even know.
Instant Netflix.
Yeah, they are all the
all
seasons.
The time. They got the Always Sunny in Philadelphia is on there now.
The latest episodes.
Good.
It's funny, but I would probably.
I made a weird sound there.
I was like, it's hard because it's I try probably like you, where you try to start at the beginning of the series, and it's so like.
But it's
you know, you can tell it's a small budget, but they're funny people. And
it's not super
stuff.
Chronological, though, where you have to go.
I don't think so. I think you'd probably be just as pleased coming in probably the second season of Danny DeVito being on the show, you know, probably season 5 or
but
something.
But just Charlie Day is hilarious,
They're fucking hilarious.
And that chick is funny?
The absurd storylines that they have in each episode.
The situations they find themselves in.
Yeah, like the one, you know, where...
Or who pooped in the bed? Did you see that one? And it ended up being Danny DeVito. They were trying to blame it on Charlie. They found a toad in the bed. And it's just like...
And there was one where Danny DeVito, he's holding sausages in his pocket. Because that way you can just eat them. You don't get greasy fingers. And he has all these hidden sausage spots. Like there's one behind the toilet or something like that. It's fucking, it's crazy.
And just Charlie Day's reaction to everything, his voice, how it goes so high when he's like,
yeah,
it's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah. It's worth, you know, just random episodes is how I would approach that.
And my kids are like hooked on, they'll sit and watch like marathon, just Netflix, just boom, 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 boom. And I was like, I watch two episodes and I want to watch something. I don't know what it is. You know, it's just, I guess it's a personal preference. It's funny. I just.
Yeah. It's just not my go-to.
And like I tell people about Trailer Park Boys, and they're like, "Oh, watch a couple episodes," but I can't. I could just watch that all day. Yeah. It's just hilarious to me.
Trailer Park Boys is a weird one for me. It's like the first time I tried to watch it, I couldn't get into it, and then the next time I started watching it, I got a good probably 7 episodes into it before the wife made me shut it off, and then
you're hooked.
Go back and watch it. But that it's like music. You have to be in the right mood for it, Once you are, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
One I recommended recently on Netflix is My Life on Mars, which was a show back on Fox back in the day, and I totally missed it. But then I looked at it recently when it came on Netflix.
Harvey Keitel.
Really? You know, on Fox, it's a period piece. You know, the guy gets hit by
terrific.
A car in like 2000 or whatever, and he's zapped back. He's a cop detective. He sat back and is a transfer to the same police department, but it's like 1974. And the soundtrack is all from there.
Oh, really?
All like rock and roll, you know, like all, you know, good stuff.
But he's the same age.
Yeah, he's the same age, and everybody around him just think, oh, he's a transfer from another place, and so he doesn't know where this place is. Oh, yeah. And then Harvey Keitel's like the boss, but he deals with all the PC stuff you got now, all the laws and that they got and follow. And then he goes back to 1974, where it's just, you know, you're in the interrogation room, you just rough them up. You know, that's and he's like, well, you can't do that. There's this and that. And they're like, what are you talking about? But it's got what's that chick's name? She's starts with a G.
Giselle?
No.
Gina?
Nope. No. No. I'll get back to you on it.
Is it a hard G or a JG?
So I want to say like a Gua.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
No.
I'm all Gwyneth?
Gwyneth.
No.
Okay, this wasn't a real question, but it's on the list, Zach. Do you think sports are dumb?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
You got a team you're rooting for in the Super Bowl?
Who's in it?
He wins the pass the test. The Ravens and the 49ers.
Yeah. I actually bought the website sportsaredumb.com. Amazingly, it wasn't taken.
It wasn't taken?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for writers who want to write.
I'm going
to
write. I just haven't got around to it yet. I'm going to be a sports writer.
It's like sports on video games are fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love that. And I don't know. I got told when I was a tried out for sports that I had long hair and I had to cut it. So that made me
I
hate sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of like that too. And I don't know. I can get behind the team aspect of sports mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but it's just watching baseball or golf.
Yeah.
So boring.
It is.
Well, or even watching football or basketball is a little more energetic and it's back and forth a lot, but
I even played baseball for like 3 years.
I was the water boy for the football team.
League.
Just so I could go on away games and stuff.
Yeah, take trips.
Sports are fun
meet
to play.
Chicks.
I can't stand to watch them.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on also, so.
Well, I was like, my friend said that the Super Bowl should be interesting this year, and I said, dude, every year it's the same thing. It's just some lackluster game that's not even really that exciting that can no way ever match the hype that is given 2 weeks of 24-hour, 7 ESPN coverage.
Yep.
There's no way. The best you can hope for is that the last play is going to count. But chances are you're going to go to a Super Bowl party. You're not even going to watch the game. It's going to be over before you know it, and you're just
going to
drive
home
drunk and eat.
I will say Super Bowl has in the past been kind of cool for the wife and me, just because we're both like, hey, let's cook up some good food and you pick a team, I pick a team, and then whoever wins gets to choose what we do tonight. All right.
Yeah. Hey, that's great. Well, you know, a great way.
And it's on in the background.
I used to do those $1 football pools at work, and I think I even won.
It gives you a rooting interest in it just to like have fun, you know.
You want them to have a certain score at the end of the quarter, you know, or something like that, or you have numbers on a grid and you pick the score, but you can win up to like $800.
I don't really get upset over any sports things. If my team loses, like Oregon lost that game, I was like, man, that really sucks. And I felt that way for like 30 seconds a minute. But, you know, what do I have control over what they do, you know? I could sit there and think, man, if I was watching the game, maybe they would have won, because sometimes you turn it on and it's like all of a sudden your team does well.
Yeah. But I could see if you were like betting on it or something.
Yeah.
You get super upset.
It gives you a reading
interest.
Then
you get super upset, like, oh, I just lost $5,000.
Well, I just lost $50 the other week
on
that game.
Yeah.
I had a standing bet. Well, you probably heard of
bet.
The 5-year-old bet that the Raiders would make it before the Niners.
Yeah.
Go Raiders.
I know. And now the Niners, they were both crappy teams, like one-win teams back when I made that bet. Mm-hmm. And look how quickly. Now I'm getting pissed.
Yep. Go Raiders. See, you're getting pissed about sports.
I know.
All right. So here's a question. It's kind of in line with what we do every episode with Hans. What's been in your CD player lately?
My CD player?
Yeah, or whatever you listen to, if you have an iPod or a tape deck, 8-track player, whatever your medium is.
I've been kind of going all over the place lately, but mainly kind of diving into the metal, kind of trying to find some of the new bands that don't suck.
Yeah.
I for better use of words. But
yeah.
There's when we played Warped Tour, we got given this compilation, and listening to it made me hate nu metal.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of shit out there.
Every single band was the same, but then there'd be one band that you'd be like, whoa, these guys, they're still kind of doing the same thing as these guys are doing, but
they're standing out.
They stand out for some reason. There's something just different. Miss May I is one of those bands.
And what was it?
Miss May I.
Okay.
And them, and Every Time I Die is just still one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I've really kind of been going through those back and forth between those two lately.
Right on.
And throwing some old Nirvana in there lately.
Cool. Right on.
Sweet.
Yeah, we do a thing for Hans every day. I'm sure you know because you listen
What's
to
in
the show.
Hans?
We got to get a new song, though. I'm tired What's of this one. He said he likes the Black Sabbath. We got to extract it from the episode.
We're going to find out today. What's in Hans' CD player?
I can't even remember.
What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD player? We're going to find out right now.
Hansi. Oh, Hansi. He was listening to, what was it the other day? David Lynch soundtrack?
Yeah, he was listening to the soundtrack to Mulholland Drive. Have you seen that movie?
I have not seen that movie, but...
And we were just talking about it the other day.
That just came up today on something I was looking at.
Really?
Isn't that weird how shit does that?
I love
it.
I love how that works. But it's the same guy that did the Twin Peaks, the Angelo Badalamonte.
I like how you say that.
Badalamonte.
Yeah. Today, Hans is worshiping the devil. He's listening to Blood Ritual at the Mountains of Madness.
Ooh.
Blood Ritual was from Washington. We used to play with them back in the day, Victims of Internal Decay did. And This guy was an actual Satan worshiper. He was.
So you knew this guy?
Yeah, his name was Tim. I can't remember his last name.
Every Satan worshiper I know is named Tim. Why is that?
I don't know. It's just some deal with the devil. You got to go by Tim. And no, like we went to his house.
My friend Tim Bucktu.
Yeah, he's a total Satan worshiper. No, but this guy used to like. Apparently, I never saw it, but I had people who said that they had witnessed weird shit at his house. Like he did sacrifices to animals and like prayed to the devil and had like candles and like weird shit all the time and. Dude, his lyrics are like total, like, I don't know. him and Glenn Benton would get along well, if you know what I mean. And if they're not serious, they're at least playing it up to where they're serious.
Have either of you ever been to the top of the Mountain of Madness? No. Is that what it was called?
At the Mountains of Madness, yeah.
Yeah, at the Mountains of Madness. So I was wondering if you knew him, if he ever been, did he ever take you up there?
No. Satan usually takes me down to the fiery pits of hell.
Nice. But,
not up the mountain.
Exactly. Yeah. That's Jesus and Moses that take you up the mountain. So then we'll move over to my cassette deck, which this week I went back to 1988, Flotsam and Jetsam.
Mm-hmm.
Doomsday for the Deceiver, and the reason I listened to this tape is because I was watching an interview with Jason Newsted. This was his band at the time. He has a new band out. It's called Newsted.
Yeah.
Yep.
I listened to a couple of songs, and from what I'd read, I was really excited to hear it because it was supposed to be old school, like thrash metal, but it's not that great. I mean,
just heard one little clip.
Yeah, it's just sounds regular.
Promo shots I see look like he's trying too hard.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm being overcritical, but the drummer
probably just
didn't sound as good as he should have been. It's like, I don't know, it's like him and a couple of his buddies that really aren't as, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's probably, would you say he's the one that stands out as the talent in the band?
Oh, yeah, he's the lead singer and the bass player, but
him jamming with some friends, and no matter what he does, is going to get a record deal.
He wrote the entire album. He wrote the entire album like Floyd writes a lot of stuff on his iPod, on his iPad in GarageBand. And he said that in all of his other bands, even in Flotsam and Jetsam, he'd write bass parts and collaborate with other people, but he had never sat down and actually wrote full songs. With the guitar parts already there, recorded a demo of it, gave it to the guys, and then they learned the song. So,
an interesting approach.
There was an interview. Carl did an interview with him from K-Fly, and just asked him questions like that, and like if he felt weird having the band be his name. And he said he kind of did, but it was kind of, he thought he'd paid his dues long enough, and he wants people to know who it is
when they look at knows.
It, and not have to wonder, you know, if they saw the band called the Fecal Corpse and oh, I think that's the dude from Metallica and Flotsam and Jetsam.
I've been targeting those Facebook ads lately, and there's like 30 million fans of the page of Metallica.
Yeah,
that's insane.
But that totally explains why those songs don't really sound that good, is that he wrote them all himself, and he's not letting anybody else have any input.
Yeah, and it's like you don't just say, well, what if this part like went like this, or we had a different transition between these two riffs?
Mm-hmm.
And they were probably afraid, oh, it's Jason Newsted, it's his thing. But they've been playing with
him
for quite a while.
Yeah. But that's how Dave Grohl, though, wrote his first album, wasn't it? Didn't he wrote all of the parts? Not
he
comparing
recorded
them because they're completely different.
He recorded the whole thing.
Personalities.
Yeah.
Even the second album, he recorded the whole thing except for the bass, and then he even went back and re-recorded all the drums after their drummer did and went back to Seattle, and then the drummer found out because the bass player and the drummer were from Sunny Day Real Estate, and then he like goes, aren't you going to tell him that you're re-recording? He's like, I am, but not right now. And so like he felt obligated to call his ex, you know, his band buddy, and said he's re-recording all your drum parts, and he said you still want to be in the band, and he's like, no, I really don't.
I'll do the tour
because I already said I was going to, but then I'm going to be done, you know. And it's like Dave Grohl just said, well, there was a couple parts that you just weren't getting the way, you know. He didn't find his clone until he found Taylor Hawkins.
So Taylor Hawkins,
God, he's a Dave Grohl
Taylor
clone.
Hawkins wasn't the original.
No,
Alanis Morissette. All right.
He didn't join until after The Color and the Shape, which is the second one where
The one about him killing Kurt.
No, he didn't do that.
Dude, you got to read between the lines. That's all I'm saying. Give it another listen.
When's your book coming out?
Dude, I could write a book on that subject. It'd be at least 40 pages.
40?
Yeah.
It'd be titled, How Many People Did Dave Grohl Kill?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be all like those little stories of where the band name's derived from. But it's going to be all... He killed Kennedy. He shot Lincoln. He shot Lincoln, man.
He wasn't even alive back then, dude.
Oh, you think not. He's a time traveler.
Oh.
Don't think... I know you've thought that he's probably had that kind of possibilities. He's time traveling.
He's a super humanistic drummer, but I don't think he's a time traveler. I mean, the dude can't even play double bass, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Have you seen him try?
No, but if
you are there any videos out there of, like, him on a double?
I've never even seen him on one.
Wow.
Thinking about it, yeah, I've never seen anything with him.
He makes it sound like double bass on the Probot album, but it's not, and I don't know.
Double pedal?
Nope. He's a hi-hat guy.
Yeah,
he's got his left foot on the hi-hat. I mean, I don't know if he's... I'm sure he's had to... Every drummer has sat down and experienced with it.
Can you get a series, though, like overhead of like 10 hi-hats?
You're talking
and just put them like an eighth of an inch closer on each one so you don't have to even mess with the thing. You just be like...
Choose the one that's the right one. Like, boop, boop, boop. Terry Bozzio, his set is like ridiculous. It's got like 15 hi-hats and 45 toms. And
every
and then have you seen him play it? It's just like... And it'd be like a totally like skippy beat. Because he's trying to be fucking cool or something.
Exactly. Dude, he beats to the march of his own drum.
He's amazing, but he is.
He's amazing, but he's turned into something weird now.
And he's ruined a lot of drummers.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, he's God, and he plays like this.
So I got to do it now, too.
Dude, play a beat for 5 minutes.
Dude, I have to say that we did that episode on Ray Collins a while back for the Zappa. And then later on afterwards, I looked him up. I had no idea that's what he looked like.
Dude, he's a frizzy head dude.
Yeah, I thought he was, I did not know he looked like the madman of fucking...
Seville?
You know, yeah. Which is cool, you know, but I almost thought he was a black guy just because Ray Collins sounds like a black guy's name.
Just like, does. Yeah, and Ray White is a black guy.
What?
Yeah, from Zappa's band. That's kind of weird.
You think of the origins of where last names come
from, Jimmy
right?
Carl Black was a white guy. Whoa.
I know. You
he had a black guy named White and a white guy named Black, but he was not white. He was an Indian.
Oh, okay.
An Indian named White.
Well,
that's fucking blasphemous you think right there.
you think of like where the origins of last names come from, you know, like Johnson was the son of John and stuff like that. And so where does it come along when like
black?
Yeah, black from a white. Was he a blacksmith, I guess, maybe? And they just dropped the Smith because they didn't want to be Mormons anymore?
They were Jews, and it was Blackenstein. They said,
Blackenstein.
I've changed religions. I've converted. I don't want to be known as a Jew anymore. So I'm just known as a black. I have no idea. I need to look into surnames and where the origins of names come from, but I don't know. Hey, before I forget, I'm going to mention some birthdays.
Ooh.
Gene Hackman. Guess how old Gene Hackman is.
He's
fucking old. Is he not dead?
72. What?
Really?
78. 83.
90. Yeah, he's 83 today. He was born in fucking 1930. He was in Bonnie and Clyde. Now, what was the last movie you saw Gene Hackman in? I like Gene Hackman. He's a pretty good actor.
Oh, I was just thinking of a movie the other day with him, but it's not actually him. It was Michael Caine.
Well, those aren't the same person.
So. You're right. probably friends. Royal Tenenbaums.
Ah.
Yep.
It's a classic, and I love that movie. It's probably
That's a dark, dry, funny show.
The Wes Anderson, right, is probably my favorite movie by him.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few.
And he was in some others, but
most of them are really dry. But that one, just the story and the weaving and the great character acting in it is, even though it's dry and slow and just a little bit boring, it's like fantastic to watch the characters develop, even if you've seen it before.
Yep. And Gene Hackman seems to be in a lot of dramas that you never can think of what the names of them are, but you've seen him in a ton of movies. I can't think of any right now.
I know. I'm sitting here racking my brain, too.
And like, dramas?
Gene Hackman dramas.
He was in
The Man
with the French Connection.
Yeah, that's old, though. That's 70s.
Or was that Michael Caine?
No, that was Gene Hackman.
Or was
maybe
it?
Both of them.
I think it was both of them.
That's why you get them confused.
Yeah. What do you think about that new movie, jumping to a tangent right now? Oh, God, that new Christopher Walken and Al Pacino and Alan Arkin movie.
What?
I haven't even...
No.
Oh, what? Man. Yeah.
That's got to be good.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's called, like, Brothers or Buddies or something or...
I want to see it.
Dude, and that's not even the entire cast, but there's one point where those three guys are in a car, and I saw them on...
Dude, because I think
I saw
Alan...
Christopher Walken, and it was on Jonathan's Jon Stewart show, and he's like, that's got... You know everybody in the world wants to be in that car with you guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Alan Arkin, I think, is totally underrated. He's hilarious.
And Christopher Walken said, well, they should.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's finish these off real quick before I fucking forget. Trevor Dunn, Dustin probably doesn't know who it is, but I bet you do.
Oh, I totally know who that
it's
is.
Trevor Dunn's drummer, birthday. Right? No, he's a guitarist.
Yeah.
And do you want to guess what band he's from? He's affiliated with Mr. Mike Patton. Are you Googling it?
No, I'm Googling something else.
Anyway.
Go ahead, I don't
Mr.
know.
Mr. Bungle guitarist, and I think he played for Faith No More for a bit on their last reunion tour a year or two ago. And Diva Zappa birthday today. I didn't know she was so young. She's only
13.
No, then that would mean that Frank wasn't her dad. No, she was born in 79, so what? She's 34 today.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought she was older than that. Because that means that like she's 10 years younger than her.
Does she look like him?
I don't know. Does
she have the mustache?
No. Not even Moon has the mustache. Also, some friends we got birthdays. Peter Pergament from Rapid Demise. We talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
He's 40 today. Happy 40th to Pete. And Flames' birthday is today.
Nice. Ooh. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And the people Flames. In the room here might forget that it's actually Wednesday today. So your sister's birthday, Brooke Rowe.
Oh, yes.
Happy birthday, Sister Brooke.
Happy birthday.
Should we tell everybody how old she is?
Yeah.
Do you know?
No.
Happy 33rd birthday to Brooke.
I got to do math.
Yeah. She's in her Christ year now, so we hope she doesn't get crucified. So, yeah, that's all of our birthdays, and we got that finished. So now we can
Stand Up, Guys. That's the name of the movie.
Oh, with Will Ferrell? Oh, no, that's that new movie with...
Christopher Walken,
really?
Alan Arkin.
Well, son of a bitch.
I got some deaths.
You posted that on your thing, and you said, this sounds like a movie that interests
me. Yeah, that and that movie 43, looks funny. It has a shit ton of
when you put
comedic actors.
Stand-up guys, I got it confused with like the other guys or whatever with Will Ferrell.
Oh,
yeah.
No, this is a new movie. I just saw the trailer. And the movie 43, which has, not that I'm a huge fan, but it has Justin Long. It has Emma Stone in there. It just has a whole bunch of just funny people. Like it just looks like one of those cameo type movies, but it looks actually funny.
Mm-hmm.
But celebrity deaths.
Okay, do it. Do it.
Michael Winner, director of
you son of a bitch.
Director of Death Wish and The Mechanic. Have you ever seen The Mechanic?
With Christian Bale.
Yeah,
I like that
movie. Man.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah, he's an insomniac, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Looks like a he looks like he's fucking messed up.
That was all before Batman too, wasn't it? Yeah. Or right after it came out, right after the first one, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
So every time we do celebrity deaths, you name people that I don't even know.
All right. Stan Musial.
Baseball player.
Ah. So you only know the sports guys.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but he's from like the 30s, dude, wasn't he? Isn't it Musial? What'd you say?
I don't know. Musial? It's so unusual.
It's the Musial Suspect.
I always say invented the musical.
Okay. Who else?
No, that's it. I'm going to go back to Dear Abby. But...
Damn you.
Won three World Series with the Cardinals.
Yeah. Sports are dumb.
But no, the Michael Winner, I mean, it was his movies which got Charles Bronson.
Oh, Death Wish, yeah.
Death Wish.
Have you watched Death Wish 3 lately?
I have watched Death Wish 1 and 2 lately.
Okay,
not
so...
Not 3, because, man, that 2 was a tough watch.
So how many people does he kill in, like, 1 and 2? Just a couple, right?
Doesn't kill any, does he?
Yeah, maybe one person in Death Wish 2. Death Wish 3, he kills every fucking buddy that he sees in the whole movie.
It's like 30 years after the first one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it took my friend, our friend Seth Milstein, to point this out to me as he watched it the other day. He realized, like, he was just killing everybody. He's, like, eating dinner with these people.
And just kills them.
And then he goes outside, and he kills these people. And then he comes back in, and he's like, sorry. And he wipes
them. Three strikes and you're out.
Yeah, boom, you're dead. If you killed my family, I'm killing you and everything that you have to do with everybody.
That's great.
Yeah. So I think
I tried to, because I'd never watched those movies like in their entirety.
You wanted to see
as a movie fan, you know, like sat down and watched them.
You wanted to see if he was more badass than Chuck Norris, right?
I did, and you know, Death Wish, those are classic movies that people talk about, and you know, and so I went through, and they're very, very well, considering the first two were in the 70s, right? They were very 80s shows, so I guess they were ahead of their time.
And then the third one was behind his time.
Yeah, which was like 8 years after the second one or something like that. I never even understood. There was no continuity between the first and the second one either. It was like the first one ended, he was like going off to work in L.A. or something, and part two begins, and he's been in Chicago forever. It's like, and it was like 2 years later. What?
Maybe they're going to start a new trend where you do a prequel to the sequel, but it's in between the one and two.
The old Lion King.
A prequel to the sequel that's not the original.
I would like to still see a prequel to House of a Thousand Corpses.
Is he going to do one?
No, but if he did do another one on those,
like the origin,
that's the only way he could go.
The origin of, oh, because they're dead now, yeah.
Yeah.
The origin of those three characters?
Yeah.
Like how Spalding met up with a crazy dude, I never can remember his name in the movie.
You could do all sorts of different ones. You could do a whole movie just on Captain Spalding from birth to the beginning of House of a Thousand Corpses, do another one for another character.
You want some chicken?
That would be crazy.
You could do one on like the birth to the chicken farmer.
I remember one night, right after that movie came out, or when it came out on DVD, it was like one of the last times, I think. Either we just got super drunk and wasted, or we might have ate some acid or something. I can't remember. But either way, it was an all night thing. And I remember like just going to sleep, but kind of not being able to go all the way to sleep because I knew I had to get up pretty soon. And someone had left the DVD of a House of a Thousand Corpses on, and it went back to the menu screen.
Yeah, where he talks the creepy music over and over.
No, he talks to the camera. Hey there, dipshit. Choose something. You got the menu. You got this. And then he'll say, I want to go get me some chicken. And then he walks back in the back, and then he comes back out, and he's like, are you motherfucker still out here, goddammit? If you don't choose one of these options here, I ain't got all fucking night. You know? And I'm like half asleep going, is this guy really talking to me to the TV? Who is this crazy clown?
That's awesome. That'd
it goes
beautiful.
At least 3 minutes. Like, you know how some menus just like they'll skip after 30 seconds and
it'll
repeat
just be
on
like
loop.
A music.
And it'll
generic
loop out.
Generic music thing over and over.
Dude, he talks for at least 4 minutes.
The Barbie movies
awesome.
Do that.
Oh, what do?
The exact
for kids?
Same thing, yeah.
They talk to you?
Hey, this is Barbie. Choose this one on the menu and we can go and do this.
Maybe that's who he's making fun of.
Well, yeah, I think it's interaction, right? Yeah. You know, because it's better than the music, because the music you just get tired of, but that's kind of funny.
Especially if it's like creepy music like you're talking to and you've fallen asleep and then you wake up, you're half awake and it's like,
what's the...
Like you've been watching Saw, and it's just on the menu.
The Tenacious D, the Masterpieces one.
Oh.
That one's pretty good, too.
Make your choice.
Yeah, and then it has them with the pentagram on there. And they're...
And then if you don't choose, he's all, decide.
Yep.
It's all, you've made your choice. All right. Well, shit, we better wrap this up, huh? We're over an hour, are we?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank My Belly's Full. Thanks to our great sponsors like Pizza Now. And thanks to Complete Ag Resolution. Stan's going to help me get my vehicle fixed just for advertising time.
Contact him even if you need some car work done, right?
Yeah. Dude, he does everything.
Yeah.
He's like a jack off of all trades.
He's got time. He'll help you out. He'll for $100, he'll deliver a Pizza Now pizza to your door.
Wow. That's a deal.
Yeah. If you live within 5 miles of him.
500 miles. And if you want to check out my schedule of upcoming shows, you can listen to the plugs coming up afterwards, or you can just go to my website, terrygile.com. Also check out Dustin's musical scholarship of sorts, vfmf.org. Also check out sickdaddy.com and flyjelly.com, tagcastpodcast.com.
30poundtest.com.
Yes, all these .coms. And go to itunes.com if you listen to us there. Is that a website, actually? Write us a shitty review, but give us 5 stars. If you're feeling generous, give us a couple bucks on our donate button at our website.
Our one negative review on the ZappaCast, can I bring that up on here?
Sure, bring it up.
He did say it's better to have the show than not have it at all.
It's nice. Well, then keep listening. Tune back in later. Maybe we'll get better. We're improving the show, I think, every day. I've been listening to the shows. I do more fact-checking, less speculation and conjecture, more music involved. So check that out at ZappaCast.com, even though it's not the ZappaCast.
The Zappa Tagcast.
It's the Zappa Tagcast with Terry and Gatch.
It is.
It's like... no, you're listening to ZappaCast with, I can't remember what their names are. But at least that's the bass player from Frank Zappa's band talking about us. Mm-hmm. They know who Terry and Gatch are. He's like...
That's the bass player from Frank Zappa's band?
Scott Tunis? Dude, he was the bass player for the last 10 years. Not Scott Parker, but Scott Tunis.
Yeah, and Scott Parker.
Scott Parker is the one that wrote the books and stuff, but then on that little clip that you play at the end, it says, hi, this is Scott Tunis, and you're listening to I Can't Remember What Their Names Are.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah. And then right after that thing comes in that goes, this town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Yeah.
It's like, but it is big enough.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know I was like playing some icon on our podcast.
Yeah, dude. And he was like one of the reasons why the band kind of fell apart on the last 88 tour, because he was such a fucking Nazi. And he was like the band. He was like Frank Zappa's assistant band director on the tour. And he was kind of a Nazi, and people didn't like him that much. But, yeah, Scott Tunis, he knows who we are, and it's spelled T-H-U-N-E-S. So I used to call him Scott Thunes.
Oh, okay.
Now it's
coming. Now I know, because I've seen Scott Thunes all over the place.
Yeah, but it's pronounced Tunis.
Yeah, because I'm like, is that that guy from Portland?
What, Scott Thunes?
No, what's the, I don't even know if he's from Portland. What's the comedian Thune? Nick Thune.
Oh, no, yeah, he's from California, I think. Yeah. But he's played in Portland a few times. Yeah, he's
trying to get that Uelio.
Who? Say that again?
Uelio Magenta. Sorry, I'm going off on a few tangents here.
It's okay.
But he's on that ZappaCast. Remember that guy that said he was a lookalike, a Zappa lookalike?
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to be on our show?
Dude, he didn't look anything like him.
He's a comedian down in California and does a shit ton of, like, actual active promoting.
Cool, I'm going to look him up.
You know, he promotes shows. And I'm like, well, when are you going to come up? Because, I mean, he does a lot of promoting. And it's like, when are you going to bring some of those comics up here? And he's like, you know, he's like, because, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, get a band. Why don't you come up to the Bridgetown Comedy Festival or something like that? And he's like, well, there's also that thing, I can't leave the state for 3 years.
What, is he a sex offender?
No, I don't know. Well, man, I
just kidding.
Emptied out his dirty laundry.
Yeah. If you need him to be touring, he'll have to wait till 2015.
If you send him a friend request, though, you will have to wait until 2015, because there's only certain times that he'll accept requests.
What?
Yeah, every once in a while I'll see him post and it'll say, if you're one of the new comics that I just accepted friend requests today, then you've made the cut or something like that. That's kind of silly. But I don't know if it's his comedy or if he's just that kind of guy.
That's the weird thing about comedians. Sometimes you have to wonder if that's truly what they are or if they're just acting like a dick.
Yeah. But he does a lot of... He's one of those guys that, you know, he's always making flyers.
So is that Southern California or mid to Northern? Or
I think it's around L.A.
L.A., right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm going to be going down there sometime this year, at least to Sacramento. My friend Bobby has some connections down there for shows as well. And if I could go a little farther and do a show down there. Cool. Well, does he listen to our show or he just liked our page?
No, he came to the ZappaCast and said, hey, I look like Frank Zappa. Will you interview me? You want to interview me?
Yeah, tell him we'll Skype him. If he's funny, even if he's not funny.
Yeah.
Fuck it. All right, well, shit, it's Wednesday, and we're going to get the hell out of here. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach,
thanks
for coming on,
here,
man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited to hear the new album when it comes out.
Heck yeah.
We, and us here at TagCast Podcast, will keep you guys in the know of when that's going to be released and all that kind of stuff. Let's see. We'll be back Friday, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then it's going to be the Super Bowl. I'm going to have a big party at my house with chips and a big screen TV.
Barbecued wieners.
That's right. For all you sports dicks. Have a good Wednesday and do some humping, you guys. Thanks for listening.
Rock on.
Peace out.
Metal.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, all you taggers looking for something awesome and cool to do? I hope so, because you don't want to just sit home all the time. God, I know the weather's bad out there, but geez, get out and do something. Friday, February 1st at the Hawthorne Theater, it's DRI. That's those dirty, rotten imbeciles with Rendered Useless and Guillotine. That's at the Hawthorne Theater. Check online for tickets for that one. And if you're not into that and you'd rather check out some Doom, it's basically right around the corner up there in Portland at Ash Street Saloon downtown, the Witch Mountains LP release for Cauldron of the Wild, excuse me. They're releasing that on purple marbled vinyl. Diesta will be playing too, as well as two bands from New Orleans, Solid Giant and Red Shield. Check that out. 8:30 show, 21 and over, $8 at the door. February 2nd, that's a Saturday night at Bronx. It's Yob and Rolling Through the Universe, who are releasing their CD. It's a CD release show for them, and Usnia will be opening the show. Also that night at the Schnitz, it's Lewis Black. If you'd rather see some comedy, go check that out. February 11th, it's a Monday at John Henry's in Eugene, Oregon. It's Nashville Pussy. You can check out their website for ticket information or John Henry's on Facebook. Wednesday, February 13th at the Roseland Theater, it's Marilyn Manson and Butcher Babies. That's up in Portland, and you should go check that out. They usually play bigger venues than that. Sunday, February 17th at Wonder Ballroom, it's Red Fang. I'm sure there's some other bands playing, but I haven't got any more information on that as of yet. So go check that out. February 19th at the Hawthorne Theater at Soulfly, Insight, Lodi Kong, and 30 Pound Test. You can get your tickets from Zach or Jason Rowe or Lyndon Wood or Blake Hansel. All the dudes from 30 Pound Test, check them out. They're on our friends list on our Facebook. February 22nd at the Baghdad Theater, it's comedy night with Tristan Spillman and friends up there at the historic Baghdad. It's $5 at the door, 21 and over, usually a 10 p.m. show, but we'll get more details on that as they develop, as well as the lineup. Couple more shows in February that I almost forget to mention. February 4th, that's a Monday, at Eastburn in Portland, it's Down to Funny with your host, Nick Gones. Also features comedy from myself, Christian Ricketts, Nick Walker, and Randy Mendez, as well as a few others. That starts at 8:30. That's 1800 East Burnside in Portland. So check that out. And on the 15th, that's also a Friday night, it's going to be in Corvallis at Cloud and Kelly's. It's Shingles the Sad Clown's Cavalcade of Sorrow with five comics, and Shingles will be hosting the show. That's a 9:30 show, $3 to $5 sliding scale, Cloud and Kelly's, 126 Southwest 1st in Corvallis. It's going to be featuring myself, John Severs, Alex Alvarez, Michael Cunningham, and another fella whose name is escaping me right now. So go check out those comedy shows or go do some rocking. That's all I got for you right now. We will update this next week. Go ahead. What do you got?
Shingles has nothing to do with Shingles Clan has nothing to do with the disease. It's his name.
Oh yeah, he used to have shingles, but now he just is. Get out and do something fun, you guys. We'll talk to you next time on TagCastPodcast.com. Bitches.
TagCastPodcast.com.